Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
I was supposed to start off this show by saying Happy New Year, because it's 2026 and this is the first show that I'm doing in 2026. Good evening to this audience. Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. Smith, coming at you every Wednesday night over the airwaves of Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, channel 124. Number to call up, as always, is 866-96-POTUS. 866-96-POTUS, that's 866-967-6887. Again, I was supposed to say Happy New Year because this is the first show. But there's nothing happy about it right now because of the lead story for tonight. Sometime today, a 37-year-old woman by the name of Renee Nicole Good in Minneapolis, Minnesota, was shot and killed by an ICE agent. She was protesting. She was sitting in her car. According to reports, she was blocking the road. An ICE officer got in front of the vehicle. Another officer came up to the side of the vehicle, the driver's side, at which time she decided to drive off. And when she drove off, obviously the ICE agent was in front of her, so he had to move out the way, otherwise he would have gotten run over by her. Subsequently, he pulled out his gun and took her out. There's no other way to slice it. Now, be clear. I saw the video on numerous occasions. And seeing what transpired, from a lawful perspective, as it pertains to a law enforcement official, don't expect him to be prosecuted. He was completely justified. From a humanitarian perspective, however, why did you have to do that? If you could move out the way, that means you could have shot the tires. That means you could have got her a few feet away after you shot the tires. And if you were unsuccessful in doing that, you could have got her down the road. You didn't have to do that. She wasn't driving down the road coming at you 90 miles an hour. She was parked in the middle of the street. And rather than get out the car, she wrongfully tried to drive off and wrongfully disregarded law enforcement official, which is exactly what ICE is. And as a result, lost her life because of it. At some point in time, this opening monologue is going to ask you to answer a simple question, and we can spend the show doing that. We're going to have a representative from Wisconsin who was a Navy SEAL, because he spent a lot of time throughout his life in Venezuela, so he knows a thing or two about what transpired as it pertains to Nicolas Maduro and what have you. And at some point in time, we're going to have Representative Eric Swalwell out of California, the 14th District of California, who's running for the gubernatorial seat in that state, but obviously has had a lot to say about President Trump, about ICE, about tactics that have been used, etc. I'm here to tell you that at some point in time, you got to ask yourself, what damn country do you want to live in? At some point in time, you're going to have to ask ourselves that question. And I think the time is sooner than later. Because again, from a legal perspective, don't expect this ICE officer to be prosecuted. I'm telling you right now. She was in the car, Renee Nicole Good, 37 years of age, protesting, blocking off the streets. ICE wanted her to move. An officer got in front of the car, another officer got to the side of the car, and then she tried to take off. And in their eyes, the Kristi Noems of the world for the Department of Housing, of Homeland Security, I'm sorry, and other folks on the right are saying, yo, they consider it an act of domestic terrorism because she tried to run over an ICE officer. It's not going to be prosecuted. My point is, let's not focus on that for a second, okay? She was wrong to drive off. She should not have done that. Should have got out of her car, to prove that she was not going to be any harm, or she should have asked the officer, I'm pulling over, could you move out the way, please? Instead of trying to disregard him totally to the point where you're going to take off and potentially hit him, and he moves out the way and draws his gun and shoots through the front windshield and took her out. But it wasn't necessary. You could have arrested her. You could have spared the woman's life. You didn't have to kill her. We've seen plenty of incidences throughout the United States of America, historically and frequently and recently, where people who committed crimes or people whose behavior weren't indicative of law-abiding citizens who were simply obeying law enforcement officials, we've seen them walk away alive. We've seen them walk away cuffed, but they walked away alive. So even though the law, from a literal perspective, might be on his side, the reality is that your humanity comes into question because you didn't have to kill her. She didn't have to die. But that's the country we're living in now. We're living in a country where some people, more often than not, are becoming lawless. And law enforcement officials are not just about enforcing the law while serving and protecting, but they're also taking lives. At least in this case, that was the case. I believe it was totally unnecessary. But that's me talking. There's some people you need to hear from. The first order of business, the Secretary of Homeland Security, the one and only Kristi Noem, she spoke about this in the aftermath of the shooting. Here's what she had to say.
You asked about a shooting that we just had in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It was an act of domestic terrorism. What happened was our ICE officers were out in an enforcement action. They got stuck in the snow because of the adverse weather that is in Minneapolis. They were attempting to push out their vehicle, and a woman attacked them and those surrounding them and attempted to run them over and ram them with her vehicle. An officer of ours acted quickly and defensively, shot to protect himself and the people around him. And my understanding is that she was hit and is deceased. We're continuing to gather more information, but this goes to show the assaults that our ICE officers and our law enforcement are under every single day. These vehicle rammings are domestic acts of terrorism. We're working with the Department of Justice to prosecute them as such. We will continue to protect our ICE officers and in cooperation with other law enforcement agencies as well. You've seen me in the last couple of days deploy over 2,000 more officers to the Minneapolis area.
That was Kristi Noem, Department of Homeland Security. She had her say. Governor Tim Walz, former vice presidential candidate on the Democratic side under Kamala Harris, he is the governor of Minnesota. He had something to say about it as well. Listen to what he had to say.
And from here on, I have a very simple message. We do not need any further help from the federal government. To Donald Trump and Kristi Noem, you've done enough. There's nothing more important than Minnesotan safety. I've issued a warning order to prepare the Minnesota National Guard. We have soldiers in training and prepared to be deployed if necessary. I remind you, a warning order is a heads up for folks. And these National Guard troops are our National Guard troops. They're teachers in your community. They're business owners. They're construction professionals. They are Minnesotans. Minnesota will not allow our community to be used as a prop in a national political fight. We will not take the bait. We will continue to update you, Minnesota, as we get more information.
That was his way of putting it, which I would say is a bit tepid and diplomatic compared to what you're about to hear next. Listen to the mayor of Minneapolis, Minnesota, Mr. Jacob Frey, had this to say.
I do have a message for our community, for our city, and I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the fuck out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here. Your stated reason for being in this city is to create some kind of safety, and you are doing exactly the opposite.
This is what's getting interesting about listening to this right here. Because I want everybody to be careful. I want everybody to know this because I looked this stuff up. One of the things that President Trump and his administration has used as justification for the need for the National Guard, particularly in sanctuary cities, where they fend off federal laws, federal law enforcement officials to try to do their own thing as it pertains to migration and immigration, illegal immigrants entering respective cities in the United States. Some of these sanctuary cities, of course, this is what they do. I asked somebody to look up Minnesota crime rates by the numbers. Overall, in the year 2025, there was a decrease in crime in Minnesota. It's very, very important that I read some of this to you guys because it's important that you understand what's transpiring here. 64 homicides in Minneapolis in 2025. That was down from 77 in 2024. That's also 32 fewer than when violence peaked in 2021. Gunshot wound victims were down 18% from 2024. There were 68 fewer shooting victims in 2025, 347 fewer shootings compared to 2021. Gunshot victims were down 33% in the third precinct in 2025 and 42% in the fourth precinct. The fifth precinct, if not for the Annunciation shooting, would have been seen as a decrease in gun violence as well. Remember, in 2021, Minneapolis was the only major city in the country to have more shooting victims than there were sworn officers within the department. That was 2021. That's no longer the case in 2024. No longer the case in 2025. So improvement has definitely taken fold. 2025 also marked the lowest number ever for shooting victims in North Minneapolis. There were 1,085 reported robberies in 2025. That was down 50% from 2021. Carjackings were down 73% in 2025. There were 2,401 reports of burglaries in 2025, but that was a 10% drop from 2024. And aggravated assaults were down 9%, resulting in 148 fewer victims than in 2024. So considering the trajectory, considering the improvement, one could easily argue, what is the need for the National Guard? What is the need for ICE? Now, ICE will tell you, we appreciate those statistics. We thank you for it, but that don't have anything to do with our agenda. That has nothing to do with our agenda. We're there to make sure folks who are here illegally are caught, captured, deported. Minnesota is saying, wait a minute, we don't need y'all here. We don't need y'all here. ICE is not listening. The Trump administration is not listening. And as a result, there's a divide that's taking place before our very, very eyes. And at some point in time, we're going to have to make a decision as a country. Because I would like to remind y'all that prior to COVID, regardless of what people were feeling about the Trump administration, the country wasn't doing so bad because the economy was looking good. And it was thriving purportedly. And as a result, he was en route to reelection before COVID hit. And some people thought that was mishandled. And then the riots took place throughout the streets of America in the aftermath of the George Floyd shooting, when this country had a quote unquote racial reckoning. And that ultimately was what booted Trump out of office, because you had millions upon millions of Americans that said, I don't want this noise. I don't want this noise. I don't want this noise. Now Trump is back in office as the 47th president instead of number 45. And initially, what we were seeing, whether it was GDP in a good place, whether inflation wasn't as dramatic as we thought it was going to be, whether a recession hadn't officially kicked in, the economy was supposed to crash, but it didn't. The border was secured, unlike open borders under the Biden administration. Somebody needs to let Donald Trump know, you in danger of messing it and mucking it all up for the GOP, because at some point in time, the noise and the chaos is going to be on him. But here's the thing. The only way you can do it is to make noise for the midterm elections, because Trump ain't circumventing the 22nd Amendment and running for a third term. At least most people don't believe that. So you believe whether it's Ron DeSantis, whether it's J.D. Vance, the current vice president, or whether it's Marco Rubio, the current secretary of state and national security advisor, the bottom line is going to be one of those three in most people's eyes. This is what they're saying. So at some point in time, the noise has to be curbed. Otherwise, the GOP may suffer in the midterm. We haven't forgotten that the Affordable Care Act subsidies issue has not been addressed. That the GOP still hasn't had a plan that's formidable enough and attractive enough to be adopted. That the Democrats themselves ain't even talking about it that much. But you got people on the verge of losing of seeing their premium spike sky high. And 24 million Americans being in a position where it's going to be a struggle for them to afford health care. We ain't forgot about that. Incidents like this might make you think that momentarily, but that ain't the truth. So all of that's going on. And at some point in time, the noise that's reverberating might mirror what we were hearing in 2019 and 2020. And as a result, who's going to pay for that? Somebody will. Somebody will. Evidently, Trump doesn't believe it's him. Here he is with a post on his Truth Social platform. I have just viewed the clip of the event which took place in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It is a horrible thing to watch. The woman screaming was obviously a professional agitator, and the woman driving the car was very disorderly, obstructing and resisting, who then violently, willfully, and viciously ran over the ICE officer who seems to have shot her in self-defense. Based on the attached clip, it is hard to believe he is alive, but is now recovering in the hospital. The situation is being studied in its entirety, but the reason these incidents are happening is because the radical left is threatening, assaulting, and targeting our law enforcement officers and ICE agents on a daily basis. They are just trying to do the job of making America safe. We need to stand by and protect our law enforcement officers from this radical left movement of violence and hate. That's their position. Now, let me say this. I watched it five times. In this part, where the president talks about how violently, willfully, and viciously ran over an ICE officer who seems to have shot her in self-defense based on the attached clip, it's hard to believe he's alive. Respectfully, the president's lying his ass off. That's not true. That's not true. Okay? The officer moved out the way and shot her. How's he in the hospital? For what? What am I missing? Somebody help me out. That's not what I saw the five, now six times I'm watching this video. President, that's a lie. The other stuff he said, however, we got to man and woman up and ask ourselves, does the president and the GOP have a point when they talk about the verbiage, the rhetoric that's being spewed on the opposite side of the aisle when it comes to ICE agents and how they're being talked about? And is there any truth to the notion that that serves to exacerbate a situation and incite people to go out there in respective sanctuary cities throughout this country? Whether it's L.A., it's New York, it's Chicago, it's Minneapolis, etc., Portland, Oregon, whatever. Does it incite people to go out there and engage in lawlessness against ICE agents? We all have to concede the fact that ICE agents are doing their job. When Biden was in office, they didn't bother folks that much because you had open borders. When Obama was in office and over 3,000 people were deported, you're a Democrat, you got to make sense out of the fact that you didn't say anything about it then. I am not defending Trump. I don't like the way he's doing things. And I think in certain respects, he's mirroring what he did during his first administration, which I think will serve to hurt the GOP more than he realizes in the months to come, the midterms. If the Democrats play their cards right and don't engage in histrionics or acts of stupidity to get in the way of the momentum they might be building. I say might because I don't know. But the other side to it that can't be escaped. When did sanctuary cities begin? When did they start? Why did they start? And if it's such an affront to us as American citizens, particularly people on the left and what have you, how come you didn't say anything when Obama deported over 3,000? I'm just asking. Because the right got an argument against you that you're going to have to defend. Are you prepared to answer that question? If you're complaining about Trump and his administration doing it now, how come you didn't complain when Obama did it? And he deported more people than Trump deported in his first term. You got to answer that question. Now, that doesn't mean you look at this incident and you think ICE was right to shoot that woman down. That doesn't mean you don't look at them and say they ain't wrong. They're wrong. It doesn't mean any of that. What it means is that you have to be prepared to make these arguments. And you also have to be prepared to fend off the accusation aimed at the left that the rhetoric being spewed, particularly in a time when everybody was swearing to dial it back, because we don't need our country as divisive as it is. Look at the stuff that you're hearing in the streets being spewed at law enforcement officials, whether it's ICE or anybody else. These are the things that come with it. These are the questions. I've got two special guests coming on the show. Representative Derek Van Orden, who's a former Navy SEAL. Served a lot was in Venezuela for an inordinate period of time and is very, very familiar with what's going on there. And his feelings about Donald Trump and the Department of War entering Caracas and grabbing Nicolas Maduro and his wife, supposed leader of that country, nevertheless, a man who had a bounty on his head. That is definitely something that Representative Derek Van Orden will speak about. And if you remember, I spoke about it yesterday. I got a problem with Trump and this damn nation building. Let's focus on here. That's not trying to run the country. You're clearly going after the oil. That's what this is all about. No, yeah, we were born at night, not last night. You know what the hell you doing? But in the same breath that I say that, and I lament the thought of us putting troops on the ground and trying to engage in nation building and running another nation when we got problems here that need to be resolved, I'm not going to knock the president for going in there and getting Nicolas Maduro. I don't want to hear that from Congress. I don't want to hear that from the left. You had a $15 million bounty on his head when you were Trump in the first administration. Biden comes in and put a $25 million bounty on Nicolas Maduro's head when he was in office in 2025, right before he left. And then after that, Trump arrives and adds another $25 million on top of it to make it a $50 million bounty on his head. You wanted to get him. Well, he went and got him. Without one single American citizen, one single American soldier, one single individual, whether it's Delta Force or anybody else, that was killed. Not one. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that criticism about Trump. The nation building, sure. Not him getting Maduro when we all wanted him. You wanted him, you got him. Both sides, Republicans, Democrats, everybody agreed with Trump and Biden. They wanted his ass. Well, you got him. I don't want to hear that now. No complaints. The nation building, that's a different story. Don't like that at all. Don't like that at all. Don't know what the hell Trump thinking with that. That's bad. Sends a bad message throughout this world. You complaining? You do something like that? No wonder why the Russia-Ukraine war hasn't been resolved. Evidently, you don't have that big of a problem with it since you're going up in there taking over Venezuela. Even though I know it's not the same situation. Please don't get me wrong. I'm speaking facetiously, but still, it shouldn't be happening. 866-96-POTUS is the number to call up. 866-96-POTUS. That is just a couple of things that I'm talking about that I'll likely bring up with Representative Derek Van Orden. Of course, in hour number two, top of hour number two, Representative Eric Swalwell from the state of California, 14th District, gubernatorial candidate for the state of California as well. He'll be on the show with us as well. We got two sides, two different sides, a Republican and a Democrat in the House to talk about these very issues and then some. So stick around. You're listening live to Straight Shooter with Stephen A. right here on SiriusXM, POTUS Radio, Channel 124.